Be'ez Hashem Yisboch, we begin Perek Achad Asa, the 11th chapter in the Rambam Masechas Nedarim, the Laws of Vows and the Seif HaFlah, where now the Rambam discusses regarding the age of the one who's taking the neder, and also additionally as the halach of hafara of the husband and the father's ability to nullify the woman, the daughter, in their family. So the Rambam begins halach alf regarding the age which obligates a person in the Nedarim. Katan ben shteim ester shana b'yemechad, a minor boy that's 12 years old, and a girl that's 11 years old, shenishboy nadru, if they took a vow or an oath, bein nidri iser, whether it's that of where they took a vow prohibiting something on themselves, which is generally permitted, bein nidri hektish, whether they took a vow obligating themselves in the carbon that they're not obligated in. So, although they're a year under bar or bas mitzvah, but we inspect them, we ask of them, do they know to whom they took this vow? Of course, whoever takes a neder has to do it l'shem shemam, like it says in the pasuk, ish ki de neder l'shem. U'l'shem mihikdishu b'nishbo, and to whose name did they sanctify and take an oath? And if they know, nidrim kayam b'kdeshim hektish, then their vows are valid and their hektish is considered that of hektish, because this unique halacha regarding the darm, as Ram is going to explain, that if you reach the age a year before what's called a muflu samach le'ish, ish kiyafli neder, that if a person knows how to be mafli, to express to whom they're taking the neder, it's going to be a valid neder, even though they're not obligated mitzvahs yet. Now, v'm lo yadu, but if they don't know who they're being neder and being makdash to, then ein ben medrem and the brem klum, then their vows and their words have no significance. Now, utzrich m'diko kolash on the kulin, also says the Rambam, they have to be inspected the entire year, shushnas yud beis l'katana, which is the 12th year for a boy, shushnas yud gimel, which is the 12th year, meaning the 11th year of a girl, then we call the 12th year, which is the 13th year, for that of a boy. As Ram says, Allah based Ketzer Hasot. Let's say they took a vow or made something hektish in the beginning of this year. Again, a boy, we call it 12 years old during that year, which is called the 13th year, because when we call 13, it's actually 13 in one day. And they asked them, v'nimtzu yoydim in this kaim nidrim. It turns out they know who they're making neder to, and therefore the neder was validated. And then the neder acher, later on, the child makes another neder. Even at the end of this year, Shrikha Medika still says, Ram, this entire year, every time they make a neder, it needs to be inspected. And then it'll be validated. And that is the chiddush. We don't say, since we found out that in the beginning, they knew who they made neder for in Shrikha Medika, that they don't need to be inspected anymore. No, this whole entire year, the halacha is that they have to be investigated to make sure that they know to whom they're taking the neder for. Now, before this time, the year before Bar Bas Mitzvah, even if the child said, we know who's taking the neder for and who we're being makdash for, the neder is not a neder and the hektish is not a hektish. Now, after this time, meaning the boy is over Bar Mitzvah, he's over 13 years old, and the girl is already 12 years old, there is the other way around. Even if they say, we don't know who we took the neder for, who we marked this for, it doesn't make a difference. Their words are going to be substantiated. And their hektish is a hektish, their neder is a neder. And even if they didn't bring two pubic hairs, this that we're talking about, this halacha, mufla samach le'ish, this year before Bar Bas Mitzvah, is what's known as the time period for vows, which is said many times, which is an exception to the law of Bar Mitzvah, that here they will have significance in halacha the year before if they know for whom that is Tashem, the being makdash and being noid. As Ram says, halacha daled, so hayol v'igyu l'shnei hagdolim. Once they reach the years of adulthood, nidrim kayam, their vows are substantiated. As we explained, af pishle hiviv simanim, even if they didn't bring signs of adulthood. But even though for everything else, they're not considered yet adults, they're not bar or bar bas mitzvah yet, they're a year before, still, this is from biblical law. Shahamufla samach le'ish, which someone that reached this age where they know how to express for whom they're taking a neder, from the terminology of the pasuk ish ki yafli neder, which is near the age of becoming an adult, hektesh v'nidre neder, his hektesh, his neder, is all considered a valid vow. Now, but in spite of this, avbish nidrim kayim, although, as we're saying, their vow is valid, imchillu nidrim, if let's say they desecrate their vow, or they take an oath and they do the opposite, ain't like them, they're not going to get lashes, I'd shake deal until they become an adult, the vish they says, and they bring two pubic hairs, because they're not considered adults yet, until they're bar bas mitzvah, to get punishments when they bring two pubic hairs. Halacha hey. Now, but let's say hekdish. Let's say they make something hekdish. Uvaha godlin, another adult comes along, benedim and hekdish hekdish, and they have benefit from the hekdish, which in alaru from that what they sanctified. So like that adult will get lashes, mishum shin the dream, the dharma that tariq comes around, because like we explained previous halacha, biblically it's considered a vow. The child just won't get punished because they're not an adult, but another adult will get punished for that hekdish. Halacha vav diram continues regarding the ability of a father, and so to a husband, to nullify the nedarim of the woman. Says Rambam, Medvam Murim, when did we say this? Shabbas Yud Beishon Abimecha Nedera Kayomim, that automatically the girl, when she's 11 years old, when she's 12 years old, her vows are going to be substantiated, and she has to keep it. It's B'shalahoysa B'shalasa'av. If she wasn't in her father's domain, for example, she already became over 12 and a half, or she got married, or she got divorced, like Ramzan explained later on, even if she's younger than that. Or she wasn't in her husband's domain, she wasn't married. But if let's say she wasn't her father's domain, then even if she's older, that is, she's already a nara, she's already over bas mitzvah, but within that first 6 months, the father has the ability to nullify all the vows and all the oaths that she takes on the day that he hears of it. Shemek says a pasuk in the midbar, all her vows and all the things she makes forbidden, etc. Because her father has held her back, he's allowed to nullify it. So although we're saying that it's going to be a vow when she's 12 years old, then she's bas mitzvah, well, it depends. If she's in her father's domain, that is by most girls, then the father could nullify it. Now, halacha zayin vad mosay avi mefer, till when does the father have this ability to nullify? Achadivker, until she becomes a begaris, which is approximately 6 months after that she became bas mitzvah, if she had two pubic kids. Now, bogger, when she becomes a begaris, ain't mefer, then the father cannot nullify it. And by harei kol nedreb, shebaseh, kenet almanu begrusha, then all her vows and all her oaths are like the way a widow or divorcee takes an oath. Shenem, like it says in them, and by midbar over there, and pasagud, kol asha asa anaf shebegrama, whatever she makes written on herself, she has to keep. Now, halacha ches, Ram continues regarding the nullification of the vows of a married woman. Now, umeimese mefer habal nedre ishtesh vaseh. So we said that the two men in her life, her father when she's single, up until she becomes a begaris. And also the husband, says the Ram, from when does the husband have the ability to nullify his wife's oaths and her vows? It's Mishu Tikkan Sechuba, when she comes to the Chuba. In other words, when he brings her into the house and he secludes with her, that's called coming into the Chuba. And Bumeifal Ailim, the husband, could always nullify it, Achig Yoshena, until he divorces her, Vigi Get Liyada, and the Get comes to her hand. Up until that point, he can always nullify her vows, unlike the father's limit, his term limitations when she becomes a Begeris. Now, let's say she was divorced out of doubt, where he threw a get to her, you don't know who was closer to him, closer to her. Then lo yafala, then he shouldn't nullify her vows. Again, it's a suffix. And nos la get at night. Let's say he gave her a get, but on stipulation, or that it should only take effect at a later point in time. So this time period is also doubtful. Lo yafala b'yam shem time, he should not nullify her vow in that intermediate period. So too, if a woman heard that her husband died, so she got remarried, turns out it was false that her husband's still alive, or anything that's similar to that, for example, let's say she got married to someone else, and turns out that there was a flaw in the get that her husband had given to her. So then, in a balarishan, then neither the first husband, or the second husband that she got married to, neither of them could nullify her vows. And the reason for that is because the primary principle of why the husband has this ability, this authority to nullify her vows, is that she shouldn't become disgraced with whatever vow she's taking on her husband. In such a situation where she's inappropriately married and she's forbidden to both of them, we say, let her become disgraced. And therefore, neither one of them has the ability to nullify her vows. Now, but let's say the husband was married to a woman that's only forbidden based on a negative prohibition, like a grusha to a kayin. I don't have to say if it's only mechiyuv, I say only that which is forbidden on a positive commandment. Let's say a woman who is a ba'ula to a kohen gadol, and vehefer nedireh, and he nullifies her vows, and harei l'mefaren, then those vows are nullified because ultimately he is her husband and he is married to her. Halacha Tes Ram continues regarding the vows to nullify as it applies to a nara mayrasa, to the betrothed maiden. As Ram says, nara mayrasa, that is a girl who's not yet a begaris, so she's still in the father's domain, and she's engaged. So she's not only in the father's domain, but yet she's not totally in her husband's domain either. So actually here it's somewhere in the middle. So here the nullification of vows only is through a joint partnership of her father with her chassan, with the the husband that she's engaged to as one. Now, which again is halachic engagement with erusin, which we generally do under the chuppah, but in Talmudic times it was done like a year before they got married. Now, v'im ha'efer ha'echad levadri. If one of them nullifies her vow, well, ain't a mufar. Again, it's not going to be nullified. You need both. Hefer ha'ba'al levadoi, let's say only the husband nullified her vow. Va'avral nidra, and she violated her vow. Koyim she'af ha'av, before the father nullified it. So, but in this situation, ain't a leika, she's not going to get lashes. Why not? I thought it's not nullified. Because ultimately, the husband weakens the nether, because he removes, so to speak, half of the isser from the whole nether, and therefore, it doesn't retain its original severity. So although it's forbidden, but she's not going to get lashes if she violates the nether in that situation. Halacha yud. Mesa aris. Let's say the man she was engaged to passed away. So chazal shusabiyah, so she comes back to her father's domain, because now there's no more person that she's engaged to. And v'chol shatidur, and whatever vow she's going to take after the one she was engaged to died, of me, for the father could nullify kaidim shetzaris, just like it was before she got engaged. Now, mesa of achar shenesarsa. Let's say the father passed away after she was engaged. The nadra achar maisai, and then she took a vow after her father had already died. In the bal mefer, the chasen cannot nullify the vow. She in the bal mefer nidra ishta achar dekan zachu, because like we said, the husband doesn't have the singular authority to nullify his wife's vows until she comes to the chuppah. And therefore, in this situation where there's no father because he passed away, he cannot nullify her vows. Halacha Yirav, the Ram continues regarding situations where the father, together with the chasen, but it's not the first one that she was engaged to, it's a later chasen. The Ram explains. Nara arusa shenadra. So if you have this unique situation of this betrothed maiden, she's a nara, so she's under her father's domain, but she's also engaged, so she has a husband here in the picture. Shenadra that took a vow. The Shama of Viyo B'li Shama Arusin. The Rambam is going to say many different variations of these cases with different halachic implications. The Shama of Viyo, and her father heard, and again, it's all about when the day that you hear it. The Shama of Viyo, and her father heard it. B'li Shama Arusa, the man she was engaged to did not hear about her vow. B'niskarsha Bebeyam, and she got divorced from the one she was engaged to on that day that she took the vow. B'niskarsha L'achar Bebeyam, now she got engaged to someone else that same day. Now, the reason for that is because had she gotten engaged the following day, the father would not be able to nullify a day after he heard about it. So it has to be that same day. So afil lemeya, even if it was with 100 people, engaged, divorce, engaged, divorce, engaged, divorce, all in that same day, and then she's up to chasen number 100. So avio bal ha'achren, the father, and the last man standing that she's engaged to, mefir nidereha shenadru b'fnei aris rishon. They can nullify her vows that she had taken when she was engaged to the first chasen. Why? Because she has never been independent of any man for even one moment. Because although she was not with a chasen at some point between all the 100 husbands, she was still in her father's domain, because she's a maiden, she's not a begaris yet. And she had never gotten married, nisuin, to someone else. Now, so therefore, although she was engaged, which still the father has rights, so as long as it's still that same day, whoever's the last chasen, who's the aris, could nullify together with the father. Now this is all obviously Torah where the first aris did not hear the vow. Because if he did hear it and he divorced her, then the father would not be able to nullify even with a partnership with the last aris. Because if the first aris divorced her after hearing and didn't nullify, it's as if he substantiated her nether. So that would be too late once one of them substantiates it. But he didn't hear it, only the father heard it. So then the father with the last chasen could go ahead and nullify. Now, lochid beis. Aval isha hanesua shenadra. But if you have a married woman that took a nether, b'lehir for lebala, and the husband did not nullify her nether, v'gersha b'bayim. And he divorced her that day. V'chzira b'bayim. And even if he took her back that same day, in your chlava, he's not allowed to be nullifying that vow. Why? It's the same day. He could nullify b'yim shamay. No. Because in this situation, unlike the prior case where it was chasanim only engaged and the father was still in the picture, so she was never independent, here she went into her own domain, she's totally independent after she took the neder, and because the father's out of the picture when she gets married, and he divorces, he was out of the picture for those few moments until he remarried her. Now, Avabisha Nadra Bishusai. So even though she took the vow when she was under his domain. Viata Bishusai, now the same day she's in his domain. But Hail Viyatza Bishusasma Bin time, since there was a period of time that she was not in his domain, Niskaimu Nidareha, that's already substantiated her neder, and the husband cannot nullify Nidarim that were before he got married, which is the second time around. Halachid Gimel. Narumai Rasta Shanadra. Going back to the case, they were saying Halachid Alf. If the betrothed maiden took a neder, not the father and not the chasen, none of them heard her neder. V'niskarsha, and she got divorced. V'nisarslachem, she got engaged to other people. Afilach kamayam, even if it's not the same day, even if it's many days later. Now, k'sheyish ma'ava bala achren, when the father and the later husband finally hear about the later chasen, they hear like, what? You took a vow? Yeah, she says a week ago I took it when that first guy was engaged to her. So when they finally hear about it, mefir nederah shenadra b'fnei aris harishon, they could nullify the vow that she had taken when she was engaged to the first guy, since the first chas never heard about it. So therefore, when he divorced her, that will not be qualified as a substantiation of the neder, because he didn't even know that there was such a neder to be made for. So it was not a kiyum. So no one was mekayim it, no one heard about it. And this is the first they're hearing about it, that's called B'yam Shammai. So now the two parties involved, which is the father and the chasen, could go ahead now today and nullify her vow. Halacha Yudal. Nar Marasa Shenadra. Again, this case of Nar Marasa took a neder. V'shama Aviyah Levadoi. Only the father heard about it. V'hifala. And he said, no, you my daughter, you're not taking such a neder. And he nullified her vow. So he essentially weakened the entire neder, as we had said this in Halacha Tes. So even the part of the chasen is already a little weakened by the father's nullification, because it's not such a strong neder over here. Umesa aris koyim sheyishma. Now the chasen dies before he ever hears about the neder. So it comes out, the portion of the aris, which the father has no rights to, it's the other 50% partner, that part has been weakened until it's not even fit for the father to, so to speak, inherit, which we had said in the previous halacha, the concept called nisroikin, which is the father gets back, as we said that what the chasen had at some point, the father gets back when the chasen's out of the picture. Here it's already almost too weak to inherit, because the chasen didn't even hear about the neder, and the father already nullified his half of the neder. Okay, so the chasen died before he heard about it. And then that same day she gets engaged to someone else. Now, because again, had she gotten engaged the following day, the father would not be able to be mefer with the last aris. Because again, the father could only be mefer on the day that he hears about it. And it has to take effect with the chasen. So Afila May, even if she gets engaged to 100 different people, but it's on that same day, Avia, her father, Barusa Achren, and the last chasen, Mefir Nidirao Shenadr, but from the Aris Rishon, Shemeis Koim Shishma. Together they could nullify the vow that she had taken in front of the first chasen that she was engaged to, who died before he ever heard about it. But like the father himself cannot nullify, even if she had not gotten engaged to someone else. And that is, like we said over here, you don't say meisabah if the chasen dies nisrik nirshus la'ab, then it gets emptied back into the rights of the father, because since the father went, and when the first husband was alive, he nullified his share, so that weakened the share of the husband, which is now not so significant to be able to go ahead and then bring it back to the father. It's not even substantial enough. Now, however, but when there's a second chasen, who by default takes the place of the first chasen, it's as if the first chasen is still alive, and therefore he, together with the father, could go ahead and nullify that vow. Halacha tezvav. Shama aris rishon. Let's say the first chasen, he hears about this vow. Vehefer, and he nullifies it. Vemeis, and he dies. So, therefore, the nullification of the husband has been nullified, because wasn't able to finish off that far when he's still alive, because that's only finished off together with the father. Now, v'achkech sham ha'av, and then the father hears about it. V'nisarsul achem b'avir, on that same day, father hears about neder, a lot going on this day, his daughter takes a vow, first chasen hears about it, nullifies it, he dies, father hears about it, she gets engaged to someone else, lacha b'avir, on that same day. So via ma'arsa achem b'avir neder, the father with the second, or the last chasen, together can nullify her vow. But again, the father himself would not be able to nullify the vow, even if she does not get engaged to someone else, and she's not engaged to anyone, like we had said previously in explanation of this halacha, because once it was nullified by the first chasen, it already weakened the neder, and the father cannot yarsh in it because it's so weak, it can't even take effect to merit in it. But again, with the second chasen, he by default takes place of the first chasen, so as if the first chasen is still alive, then together they could go ahead and nullify her vow. Now, look at the Zayin. The Rambam continues regarding the strength of the father's abilities, even by himself, but the limitations on the halacha. Let's say, Shama Aviha. Let's say our father heard about the neder, but Shama Ha'aris, and the chasen didn't hear about it. Umeis b'yam Ha'aris, and on that same day, the chasen passes away. Oy, or Shashama Gama Ha'aris, or let's say the chasen did hear about it. Ve'hefer, and he nullified it. Oy, Shashazak, or he was silent. Umeis b'yam, and he died that same day. So in this situation, Nisroikna, this is the concept we had been mentioning, Nisroikna Rishos La'av. The husband's rights get emptied out to the father. And therefore, the father can nullify even by himself, because since he heard about it before the chasen died, in contrast to previous halacha, when the father didn't hear about it only after the chasen died, so he was never able to nullify it on his own, because this neder was never fit for a total nullification when the chasen was still alive, because the father didn't know about it, and he's the other party who has to go ahead and nullify it. So therefore, it's a weak type of situation, and like we said, there was not enough to yarshin that merits to the father, and therefore in those halachas the father was not able to. But here, where there's a substantial element where there was the ability to have it nullified when the chasen was still alive, and therefore, either he didn't hear about it, or the other way, he heard about it and he nullified it. Either way, the father who had also heard about it, and therefore there was an ability to have a total nullification, therefore the father could inherit the rights that the chasen had, and he himself could nullify. Now, let's say Shom Ha'aris V'Kiyum, let's say the chasen heard about it, and he substantiated, he says, yes, I want you to fulfill this neder. Umeis by Binyamin, he died that day, or he heard about it, and he was silent. Umeis b'yem shela achrav, and this is the significance of this case. So although we spoke about before, when he was silent, the father actually could nullify, but here, the chasen was silent, umeis b'yem shela achrav, and he only died the following day. So he obviously revealed his intention, although not explicitly, but obviously he wants that it should not be nullified, and it should be a neder, because he knows he can only nullify on the day that he hears about it, and he delayed it till the following day. That is, by default, the substantiation. So then, in the Abiyach al-Hafer, then the father cannot nullify it, because his other partner, the chasen, substantiated it, and the father cannot nullify where the other party, the chasen, had already substantiated. Halacha Yedzayin. Gersha ha'aretz achar shashama. Let's say the chasen divorced her after he heard about the neder. There is a suffix. That's a situation of doubt. On the one hand, imagirshin kishtika, could you say that divorce is like silence? He didn't say anything. So then the father, together with the second husband, who she gets engaged to on that same day, really the father himself, if she doesn't get engaged on that same day, because here we say the concept of a nisreikna, that it gets emptied out to the domain of the father. Or, on the other hand, do you say hagirishin, that the divorce is kumashikim, arisrishin, it's like as if the first chasen has substantiated the neder, because he knows that he can't nullify her neder after he divorces her, and he didn't nullify it before he divorced her, so it's like as if he's substantiating it, shikvar niskaim hanadarm, because the vows have already been substantiated, and the father cannot nullify again where the chasen has already substantiated. And since that question is not resolved, it's like we say, when it comes to the doubt of the laws of Nadarm, of biblical law, so we go stringently, and then she would be forbidden in that neder. Halach Yudches. Shama Ha'av. Let's say the father heard his daughter's vow when she was engaged, Vehifala, and he nullified her vow. Umesa'av, and then the father died. Ve'akach Shama Ha'bal. And then the husband heard about her neder. So here in this situation, it's afilo shama bal koid mashiyam asav. And this is in contradistinction to what we said, the concept of when the reverse, that the father heard about it and then the husband died, then the father will be able to on his own nullify because of the concept of nisreikna. Here, even if the husband heard about it koid mashiyam asav before the father passed away, but he didn't have the opportunity to nullify it. So although there was the ability to nullify it at that time, which again makes it into a strong type of a neder with its ability to nullify it, loynis reik nishus l'ba. Here we don't say that, oh, the father's rights get emptied out now that he's dead to the husband's rights. And therefore, in yochel l'hafer l'olam achar meisa ab, he can never nullify it after the father passed away. She'ena oris mefer el b'shut tafes, because the chasen could only ever nullify it together with a partnership with the father when he's alive. And once the father dies and his nullification has been nullified, so we don't say gets emptied out to the husband, because it says in the pasuk b'nireho b'savia, she's always in her father's household even if he's not alive. And consciously, when she gets married, that's totally in the husband's domain. But when she's engaged, then the husband does not inherit from the father. The father could inherit from the chasen. Halacha yitess. Shama aris. Let's say the chasen hears about the nether. Ve'hefulah, and he nullifies her nether, umesni dies. Ve'achkeach shama ha'av. And then the father, as we explained this already in Halacha tezvav, then he hears about it. Oy sheshama ha'av ve'hefulah. Or let's say the father heard about it, and he nullified it. Umes ha'bal kohen sheyishman. The husband died before he heard about it. So the father cannot himself nullify these vows which were already seen by the first chasen. And like we said, because since here was weakened with the father's nullification, so it's not enough for the father to inherit from that first chasen. So here we don't say nisrik nishus la'av. Ela b'shutafis aris ha'achren. Like we said, only together with the partnership with the later chasen in this arsa by biyam, if she got engaged that same day, because it has to be biyam shamay, kamesh me'an, like we explained this already in Halacha Yadav and Halacha Tezvav. Now, Halacha Chav D'Ram continues regarding the entryway of the woman who's engaged to the husband's domain, where then he becomes totally in her domain, what's called a nesua. So, Nadra, let's say the woman took a vow, and only the father went and nullified her vow. And the chasen didn't hear about the vow until she already came into his domain, meaning what we call chuba, that she got married to him. Then in yochel hafri, he cannot nullify it. Because the husband cannot nullify the vows of his kala that he was engaged to after he's already married to her. Elo, we said only before she comes into his domain, before she gets married, when she's engaged, then husha meifer b'shutav hazav, then he could go ahead and nullify in the partnership with the father. So the fikr, therefore, since the nullification is not going to be effective, even though the father had done it, and all waiting for his pshir, and he does it when he hears about it after she's married, it's not going to help once she already left her father's domain, because now she's totally in his domain. So the custom was by Talmudic scholars that actually Tetzi Bita Meshusa, before his daughter leaves his domain, only he would tell her, Kol Nadarm Shenadart B'Tech Beisi, all vows that you have taken in my household, Harim Afarim, they're nullified, because once the husband already got married, it's already too late for whatever had been nidarm that she had taken in her father's household. So the father maybe didn't hear about it, and it's going to be, quote-unquote, the first time he's hearing about it, which he doesn't know, and he can nullify it. So he would do it before she gets married. Now, v'chein abal, so too, the husband, when he was a Talmud Chacham, actually, to counsel Shusa, before he would take her totally into his domain, Amalei would tell her, which that's in tandem with the father's nullification, called nidarm shenidart, misharastich, actually, to counsel b'tech beisi, all the vows that you had taken when you had gotten engaged up until you got married coming into my house, which in Talmudic times was a yarn mitzvah, was like a year's time, harem ufarm, they're all nullified. Shabbal mefen nidra ishtei afa pishle shamaisim, because the husband can nullify the vows of his wife even though he didn't hear about them, and that will prevent that she's coming in with vows, because once he gets married, it's already too late. Now, loch of beis, what's considered that transition point of getting married, where now she's only in her husband's domain, not in the father's domain? Halacha avim shluchei abal. Let's say the father went together with the agents of the husband who had sent agents to bring her to his house. Or even if just the agents of the father were still going along with the agents of the husband. So still the father and the husband together have to nullify the vows because she's still in her father's domain. But let's say Masra avim shluchei abal. Let's say the father already gave over his daughter to the agents of the husband, even though they're still on the journey, or if the agents of the father already gave her over to the agents of the husband, and they're not going together with them anymore, and then the father's already out of the picture, you cannot nullify anymore. She already has been going out of his domain. But neither could the husband nullify, because he doesn't have his partner anymore. And neither when he gets married, where he has the rights, he cannot nullify prior nidarm, like we explained in Halacha Chav. Halacha of Gimel, the Rambam continues with the Nedarim of something similar to that of these quasi cases, that of Yavama. Shemeres Yavam, which is a woman that her husband died without any children, and she's waiting. Shemeres means to wait. She's waiting for her Yavam, her brother-in-law, to do either Yibum or Chalitza. So Afil Asa by Yavama Maimer. So even if her brother-in-law does this rabbinic kedushin to go, which is the step towards consummating this relationship with his Yavama, which is a type of a kedushin, and Afil Yav Mechli Vamachas, even if there's just one brother-in-law to this one sister-in-law, which obviously there's some type of strong connection over here, he cannot nullify the Nedarim of his Yavama until he actually cohabits with her and consummates a relationship. There's no rights over here that he has with his sister-in-law. Now, Alacha Chavdal, let's say his Yavama was an engaged maiden to his brother. So his brother, the Chasan, died before he got a chance to take her to the Chuba. Vavia Kaiman, the father's still alive. Here also, the Yavam together with the father, which the Chasan was able to do with the father, here the Yavam and the father could not together nullify her vow as one. Actually, it's the father himself that nullifies any vows that she's going to take, because the moment her Chasan dies, like we said in Halacha Yud, she's in the Sreik and she goes back to her father's domain, and the Yavam is not part of the picture here. And even if the Yavam, like we said, did a Maimer, which is some form of a Kedushin, in a Kanaimer Rasa, that does not make her like this Halacha of Maimer Rasa. And the reason is, in a Maimer couldn't be Yavama, can you gum? Although we say this rabbinic Kedushin of Maimer, it doesn't really make a bona fide acquisition in the Yavama, commission, like we explained in Hilchas Yibin Perek Bez Halacha Aleph, and therefore it doesn't make her into like a Naimer Rasa. And therefore it's only within the father's domain. Lochafei, the Rambam continues regarding what is considered then removal of the. What are the situations that remove the daughter from her father's domain? So Naira Shesi Avia, if there's a Naira, she's not even a Begeris yet, she's between the age of 12 and 12 and a half. Shesi Avia, her father marries her off, there's Nesuin. And not just Erisin. Venis Almanoi, Niskarsha of Nesuin, and she gets widowed or divorced from that marriage. Harizu Ki Yusem B'chayav, she's like what's called like an orphan when even though her father's still alive. And therefore, her father cannot nullify her vows. Even though she's still a Naira. Because the moment she gets married, she gets removed from her father's domain and never to come back. Halacha vav, Naira rasa. Let's say the engaged Naira, Shenadra, that took a vow, and neither her father nor her chasen heard about the vow until she really became a begeris. Now, as we said in Halacha Zayin, Bagris also removes her from her father's domain. Or like in the previous halacha, she becomes an orphan when her father is still alive, meaning that she got married or she got she got married to that person or to someone else, and then she got divorced and then she got engaged again. So now she's back in Arusa, but at one point she had already been married and divorced. So harin nederek hayamin. So in that situation, her vows are going to be substantiated. Ve'en habal yochel hafer, and the last chasen cannot nullify. Because her partner, his partner, the father, she's already been removed from his shears. And the, like we said, the chasen himself doesn't have the ability to nullify. And at the time she took the neder, she had not yet been solely entered into the husband's domain through marriage. And even if she's going to get married now, that we already said in Halacha Chav, that the husband cannot nullify the nedarim of his kala that she had taken when she was engaged after she gets married.